Well, good morning, everyone, and nice to see you all again. You might have noticed that I picked up a bit of a tan. Yes. That was because of the fact that not this week, but last week, I was in Orlando. I was in a conference speaking. I was going to say it was a conference that did have 5,000 people at it. I have to confess that I didn't speak to 5,000 people. I was in one of the seminar streams, but it was basically the biggest church planting conference in the world, I think, actually. And although a lot of the stuff that was taught was very kind of based in the American context and actually wouldn't work here, I loved just their heart to sort of see the kingdom of God expand, and it was a real privilege to be there. And I think that there's a whole bunch of things that I kind of come back with thinking, right, okay, we could do that, and we could do that, and we could do that. So I think I'm really encouraged by that. I think that probably in a sort of simple way, the thing that there was a kind of a phrase that somebody kind of talked about that really kind of struck home at me, which was, what we want to be locally is a high impact church. We want to make a high impact on our community. We want to make sure that actually everybody knows that Jesus is Lord here in White Inch, that actually they can come to know him, love him, and experience him. They can experience the power of his healing. They can be transformed, and they can also be impacted through the ministries that we do, whether that's a food bank, or whether that's kind of like all the other things that we do, all the community-based things that actually help people to really kind of encounter God. Whatever that is, we want to be a high-impact church, but we also want to be a church-planting church. And, you know, I'll come back to talking a bit about how we're getting on with Rikesi in a minute. But basically, that we know that this is not the only place that we're going to be in the future. We're going to be here, and we're going to be in other places too, and we're gearing up for that. But then the third thing is, we want to be the catalyst for a church-planting movement right across Scotland and beyond. And actually, I don't think that that's beyond us at all. I think that's exactly what God's called us to do. And it's interesting because it kind of ties in a wee bit with the fact that, you know, I always kind of come and we kind of look at the church, and I have to sort of say, I kind of sort of think, oh man, how can you have put so much of call on this church, on this community, this fellowship, Lord? Because actually, sorry, I usually sort of say, because look at us. So I'm like, but actually, even just in terms of the numbers and stuff, but then I think about what we're about to come to in terms of this 10 days of prayer. Do you recognize the significance of the timing of what's actually happening? You might not have realized that these 10 days are the 10 days between the ascension of Jesus and Pentecost. Jesus, on ascension, he basically kind of said to them, go to Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit to come and pray, and when he comes, you will go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And you know the thing I was thinking, what wouldn't we do? You know, how many of us wouldn't spend 9 days or 10 days locked up in a room praying if we knew that at the end of those days, what you would actually get is the release of the Holy Spirit in the way that it was in the day of Pentecost. So I have absolutely no doubt at all that actually the call of God is upon us, no doubt at all that actually we're going to plant churches, but that we're also going to be a catalyst for a church planting movement. But it all starts on our knees. It all starts in the prayer room. It all starts by actually crying out to God, not because he is not willing, but because we need to be made more and more like him. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't signed up already, you know, I just really think that it's going to be a significant 10 days. It really will be a release, a moment of release and of catalyst for the other things that are going to come. So if you can do that, then I really want to, want to encourage you to do that. Just a wee update then in terms of Rikesi. The situation is that we are now, the presbytery has now asked us for more information, and that's good. That's a good sign. Usually, if they were going to say no, they'd have said no, but they've said we want more information. And so the decision, we think, is going to land on the 20th of June. And I'm sort of saying I'm about 80% confident that they're going to say yes to us. I'm not quite 100% because you never know with the presbytery. But 80%, I'm pretty confident. So we will know on the 20th of June whether or not this is actually going to happen, whether or not we're going to get a chance to send a team to plant a new church in Rikesi, which is what God has been sort of speaking to us about, we think. So that's just by way of introductions. If you have your Bibles with you, then open them up. We're going to begin today another part of the series on the Lordship of Christ. And today we're going to be thinking about learning to quickly obey when Jesus speaks to us. So we want to start by reading together this story of Peter and the rest of the disciples in Matthew. Yes, good, my clicker is working, I love it, good. Okay, so here we go. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly after dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Today, what I want to kind of focus on we're going to get to the passage. We're going to talk about Peter and walking on water in a minute or two. But what I want to ask is this. Are you resolved, are you clear in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit as to whether or not Jesus is your Savior or your Lord? Because I want to talk about the Lordship of Christ. I want to talk about how actually whether we receive Jesus as Savior, that's wonderful. What that does is it saves us, sorts us, gets us into heaven, connects us with him. And in one sense, what it does is it opens a doorway into a new relationship with God and into a new way of living. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't actually take us beyond that into the rest of life, into the rest of the fullness of life that God wants. The access to the fullness of the kingdom of God and the power of God only comes to those who receive Jesus as their Lord, not just their Savior, as their Lord. And I want to show you a wee video that hopefully will illustrate why that's important just now.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. So let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right.
So,
okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but you don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh, well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
So, is Jesus our Savior or our Lord? This is just a wee illustration of, I put it in another way, it's kind of similar to the picture that we had before, wasn't it? Where we have the sort of the throne of our life, where we are in our throne and Christ is outside of life, and we have all these other things that are going on, and that's a self-directed life. That's actually what we were before we came to faith. You know, we made the decisions, we got on with our things, that's how it worked, we were in charge, and we decided how things were going to be. But when we came to faith, when we made that decision, what we did was this. We actually put Jesus on the throne of our life. We dethroned ourselves. We put ourselves aside. We said, okay, I am giving my life to you. I'm giving my control to you. But the reality is, for some folks, that that's only what happened at the point of their conversion. Because what then happened was this, that they actually, when it gets down to the real things, what actually happens is we just kind of do what happened in the video there. I love the kind of the half-cheeking it with Jesus. I don't quite know if that's a phrase we should use, but anyway, you know. But that's what we do. That's what we do. We kind of, you know, we kind of, I don't know, and we sort of try and it's sort of like, we used to play a game called Shuffle Bum. Has anyone ever played Shuffle Bum? A few of you might have. It's very, very funny. It basically involves, so the idea is you basically kind of put sort of a whole lot of chairs around, and there's a chair for every person, but and then what happens is one person's put in the middle, so there's a spare. And the idea is that you shuffle your bum along and to try and stop them jumping back onto the seat. It is very, very, I should have actually played that, shouldn't I? We should have played that. That would have been a really, that would have been the perfect illustration of half-cheeking it with Jesus. Anyway, so the point, that's a phrase now. We're going to use that phrase. The point that I'm making is this, that actually, it is easy to do this. It is easy, actually, after we've come to that place where we've said yes to Jesus, we love you, Jesus, we want you to save us, we want to go to heaven, we want to be right with God. Please, would you do that? Come into our lives. Yes. And so we put him on the throne of our life. But then what happens is reality. Then what happens is life. Then what happens is, you know, stuff. And often what happens is this, that actually quickly we bump them back off again. Or it's not just ourselves that we put back on. Interestingly, other people can go on the throne of our life. In other words, when we are under their influence, more than we're under the influence of Jesus, then actually they're the ones that are on the throne. Or perhaps it's fear. You know, perhaps it's fear of what other people will say. Or perhaps it's some other form of, you know, of thing that we hold dearest. You know, so in other words, the Bible talks about these as the idols of our life. So anything else which is the God of our life, which causes us to make decisions which are contrary to the will of and purposes of God, actually is sitting on the throne of our life. And that might be money, it might be image, it might be your job, it might be sex, it might be drugs, it might be all sorts of different things. Different things get stuck on that throne. And actually what happens is that they take the decisions. They are the ones that actually make the choices, and not us, and not Jesus. And my challenge is very simple, and that is, as we think today about what it means for us to actually come under the Lordship of Christ, my question is it this? You know, most of us have experienced him as Savior. Most of us, not necessarily everyone here, but most of us here have already made that decision. But the question is, what about the Lordship of Christ? What about the decision to actually kind of pursue him? I don't know what you're doing today. Anyway. Because this is the truth. This is the truth. If you want to actually experience the fullness of his power and transform the world, the only way that you can do that is actually learning to resolve this issue. Is by resolving this issue. Do you know there's lots of folks that come into church and come into kind of knowing Jesus, and actually you watch them over a period of time, and there's some folks who make incredible progress, and you'll know that. You'll kind of like 6 months later, you know, their life's completely changed. They're like just going for God. They're totally, you know, amazing life transformation. It's just incredible. And then there's other people who kind of make that decision, and 6 months later, it feels like nothing's really changed. This decision is the key to the difference. This decision is the key to the difference between living a life completely in the power of God, flowing with Him, released into everything that the kingdom of God gives to us, and being in that place where actually we keep bumping Jesus off the throne of our life, and we keep sitting back on it, or whoever it is that's sitting back on it. Resolving the question of the Lordship of Christ is the most significant thing that you can do in terms of actually making progress in the kingdom of God. And so today, I want to encourage us, funnily enough, to submit to His Lordship. And to do so because we recognize that actually it is a thing that will bring us life, that will actually release us from that constant kind of pattern of sort of trying to get somewhere, but never feeling as though we're really breaking through. So, what does Jesus bring? What does Jesus being Lord look like? Well, last week we talked, Norman spoke about the call of Peter. And these are the kind of critical questions, if you like. These questions about whether or not actually how we answer these questions will show whether or not actually Jesus is Lord or not. So last week Norman talked about the fact that actually there was that call on Peter's life and the rest of those guys. Leave that, come and follow me. You're no longer doing that, you're now doing this. The question that is at the heart of that is, you know, what will we do when Jesus calls us? Do we actually trust Him to make good decisions? Do we actually trust Him that He knows best? Because again, that video, very clear. You know, it's easy for us to kind of, you don't understand. You know, I've got all these things going on. And we forget that Jesus knows everything about our life. He knows it exactly. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He knows everything from the beginning to the end of our life. He knows it all. That's the craziest thing to say to Him. You know, you don't really know what's going on. He knows actually more than we do. And the question then is, do we trust Him? Do we trust Him when He calls us to do something else? When He says to us, will you do this for me? Will you lay this aside and come now and do this new thing? And then today, we're not just thinking about the calling in our life, but obedience. You know, will we be obedient to the call of God in our life? So when Jesus tells us or invites us to do something, do we do it? It was really interesting. I was actually going to write down on this. I typed it up and I went, when Jesus commands us, will we do it? And you know, I changed the language. And I changed the language deliberately because in our world, we are absolutely taught as a fundamental right of who we are and how we live today in this world, that we are the ones who get to decide. No one tells me what to do. I don't know if you've ever said that. I know that I've certainly said that. And I know that it's something that's said again and again and again. And actually, if we are going to submit to the Lordship of Christ, then actually, He doesn't just get to invite us. He doesn't just get to ask us. We actually are saying that He can command us. We're actually saying that He can tell us what to do. And again, are you ready for that? Is that what you're wanting to do? Are you willing for that to happen? Because it's only when we get to the place of being able to quickly respond in obedience to the commands of Christ that we will see the power of God released. And that's what takes us to the passage for today, which is a very simple passage, and I'm not going to say a huge amount about it, but this is about learning quick obedience. Peter discovered that quick obedience to the command of Christ releases the power of God. How did he walk on water? It wasn't because he was super floaty or buoyant in some way. You know, it wasn't that somehow there was stones under the water and that somehow he was standing on them. Maybe there were turtles that were floating. No, none of that. It was a miracle that had happened because he had been obedient to the call of Christ, the command of Christ to come to him. And he stepped out in faith and he was able to do what he was able to do because he was obedient to the command of Christ. And what is required then for us to experience that? Well, first of all, a close, trusting relationship. That's what he had. He had built up a relationship with Jesus, so he knew that when Jesus spoke to him, he could trust him. And that's one of the reasons why actually we often kind of like do the kind of like shove him off the seat, because we don't actually know who he is. We don't know if he can be trusted. We actually look at the kind of things that he says and kind of go, oof, that's a bit extreme, bump. And we don't realize that actually we can trust him. We need to cultivate a close relationship with Jesus if we are going to be able to be quickly obedient to the things that he says. But more than that, we need to be listening. We need to be listening to what it is that God is saying to us. We need to be open to the possibility that actually God could be saying things to us. Peter heard the invitation to step out. And I suppose the question is, are we open? Are we listening to God? Are we in the scriptures is the most important question. You know, God will speak to us through his word every day. You know, if you want to listen, if you want to hear, open the scriptures. They will speak to you. God will speak to you through the scriptures every day. He promises to do that. But also, you know, what about the prophetic stuff? What about other people encouraging us? What about that inner sense of God's, his gentle whisper in our spirit? You know, we need to cultivate that. It's quite interesting. Quite a lot of people kind of come to church and they sort of say, I've never heard God speak. Well, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I'm confident now that I know when he is speaking, because I have learned over a long period of time what that sounds like to me. And so I can trust it. So we need to learn to listen to God, learn how he speaks. And as he does that, we will then be able to do these things. But the last thing that it requires of us is this: action. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. That's a simple thing, isn't it? But the rest of the disciples didn't do it. Peter did it. And he's willing to do it. And he put his faith into action. And again, this is what I want to sort of say, that actually, if we are going to learn what the Lordship of Christ looks like in our life, then one of the keys is quick obedience when he speaks. If we discipline ourselves to do that, then what will happen is this, that we will see the release of the power of God. That is what happens when we are quickly obedient to the word of God. He then releases the power of God. He then releases the resources of heaven. He then creates opportunities for us to be able to progress in the things that we're called to. Again, you know, I want to say, we have got an incredible call upon us, both individually and as a church. But all of it is impossible. It's meant to be impossible. It's meant to be beyond us. But the only way we access the impossibility of what God is calling us to is by learning to be quickly obedient when he speaks. And that can often be in sort of strange circumstances. You know, it can often be just in a moment you have that kind of gentle whisper inside where you kind of go, oh, I need to actually go and talk to that person. And then you do it, and you find that as you do that, that God is already ahead of you, that he's already prepared that encounter for you. And I believe that this week, if we will open ourselves to the possibility, I believe that God will speak to each one of us and will give us opportunities to be quickly obedient when he calls. Okay? So I want to see whether or not this works. I believe that it works. And I believe that actually if we are willing, then we will see this actually beginning to change us. So, to kind of summarize and finish then, I want us to resolve the question of the lordship issue. I want us to resolve that question. And I want to challenge us to say, Jesus, you know, I love you as my Savior. It's amazing what you've done to me. I love the fact that you got me in relationship with God. I thank you that I'm going to go to heaven. When I die, I have no fear. But actually, I want to access everything in the kingdom of heaven here on earth today. I want to see the power of God at move in my life. I want to be able to do all these things. And I know that I cannot do that unless I submit to you as Lord, unless I quickly am obedient to what you're calling me to. This is not an easy thing. This is not a question for the faint of heart. This is not something which actually, you know, I would expect people to kind of decide on in a whim or just because I say you should do it. Because it doesn't work that way. It won't work that way. Because it's a deep resolve that is required. But I believe that if you will do this, I believe that if you will make this resolve, I believe that if you make this decision, you will see the kingdom of God break out amongst you this week. You will see the power of God. You will access the fullness of all of the power of heaven. So Lord, as we hear again the call, the challenge to come up closer, to no longer live off the milk of faith, but to eat the meat of faith, to step into maturity in Christ, wholeness in Christ, fullness of Christ, everything that you have for us, Lord God. We know that there is a huge challenge, and we tussle in our flesh because, Lord, we know ourselves, we know our frailties, we know our weaknesses, we know how easily we give in, we know how easy it is for us to knock you off the throne of our life. And yet, Lord God, we know that these things that we speak about, these callings to be the people of God who progress and to see mighty and amazing and impossible things happen, we know that this cannot happen unless we make this deep commitment within our hearts that you are Lord, that when you call us, we will go. We will say, here I am, Lord, send me. That when you speak to us, we will be quickly obedient. Oh God, we ask that you would take us into a new dimension of experiencing the Lordship of Christ in our life. And for those who can, and if this is what you want to pray, then just pray along with me. For those who can, Lord, we commit ourselves once more to Jesus, you being Lord of our life, in every aspect of our life. That, Lord Jesus, that you, what you say, what you have done, what you set as your priority, we say yes to. We commit to, we humble ourselves, and we no longer say that we will take on your the words that you speak to us as maybe invitations. We'll no longer treat them as good advice. We'll start receiving them for what they are, commands from our Lord, and we will quickly obey. And oh God, we know that we are so frail, so weak. We cannot do this in ourselves. And so we ask that you would release to us a level of faith that would take us to a new place of trusting you, Jesus. The ability to be able to hear you clearly. The ability to be able to press in and say yes. We've said this before, Lord, but we say it again. Even before we know what the question is, even before we know what you're going to say, our heart's resolve is yes to you. And so we position ourselves in that place once more of humble obedience, of putting you on the throne of our life again. Jesus, we proclaim you're not just our Savior, which we love, but you are our Lord. And we submit to you today. So we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.